Okay, welcome to episode 11, Talking Tough. We've got Outrageous Al back in the house.
Hello, hola.
Fresh and tanned.
He is. Looking mean ream, as they'd say in Essex. And we don't say that for very good reasons, as it sounds horrendous when I say it. Not as cool ream. As ream.
Yeah. I've never heard that.
You've never heard of mean ream?
Mean ream.
And you look like you've been tangoed as well, which is... obviously, that's no offence to anyone from Essex that's listening, but I'm sure you can appreciate there's a stereotype out there. It's been chucked out there.
This is all natural as opposed to when I last tried.
Which was a great success. Their success. Last podcast was yourself.
On sleep.
Hey, getting on?
Yeah, it's getting there.
But it was an absolute joy that we got to meet Lola Mayer today.
And, yes, brought her in. And
doing well.
She's
wasn't very talkative. That's one thing I'll say about
her. She sleeps in
might
the day,
be shy.
Funny enough. Which is brilliant.
Nocturnal children.
Yeah.
No, good.
No, so yes, awesome. Henry's took on well the big brother role, so... Yeah.
Is he protecting?
He just likes to get things fetched off for us and
he'll
get nappies and this, that, and the other. So he's helping out.
Happy days.
Not so much at 3 a.m. He doesn't really want to do
that. Doesn't do anything then.
He'll just,
lazy.
He'll be awake.
He needs to become a little bit more disciplined.
Lazy.
Yeah. Get him into the Marines, mate. That'll sort him out, won't it? Yeah. Anyway, as we say, the Tan Man is on the.
Back on the plan.
Back on the plan. I love that. The Tan Man back
training
on the plan.
Today.
So it's been a nice holiday, bud?
Yeah, very nice. Just getting back to normal this morning, which was, didn't really know whether I was coming or going. Sort of got that post-holiday tiredness and like overwhelmed with trying to get organised straight away. But it was nice to relax and chill out with the guys and my friends, and they know who they are, and had a lovely time. Nice weather, some nice food, nice drink.
I think this is a cool thing. This is what we're going to go talk about today. It's obviously, we're chucking out 10-week challenges of next week, and people are like, oh, because we start talking about summer bodies, and people are like, summer bodies? We've barely seen a glimpse of the sun.
Still April, yeah.
Although, to be fair, we've had some pretty good weather. It meant to be some, like, northerly snow coming down or something fun, of which someone keeps telling me. It's always great that people, clients are great at that, aren't they? It was warm last week, it's going to be freezing next. Why do that? Like, if it is, you know what I mean? Like, just chill out. We can't do anything about it, right? There's nothing we can do. We were pretty lucky to have the weather we've had, and we've had a pretty good winter, I reckon. And but it is, this is sort of a good time to start. I mean, it's always a good time to keep looking after your body, right? But just almost kickstart for that sort of summer body approach or whatever. You've got to start thinking about these things now, right?
You need to put the time in early. You can't work off Easter eggs, for instance, that you eat now, 1 week before your holiday in July, because what's changed from now till July? Probably not a lot, but if you do make the changes now, then you've been a hell of a lot better.
What I'm doing, and I think it's a solid plan, I'm reducing my intake of 10 Easter eggs a week to 9 to 8. So it's a grand
10-week challenge of reducing your consumption.
Hopefully by the last week I won't eat an Easter egg is kind of my plan, and I think that way I'll be shredded.
Progress.
Shredded, obviously, yeah.
That's just the right attitude to have.
But it is. It's positive. It's progression. And I actually want to chuck it out there before we go into this whole thing. Good friend of mine, and he definitely won't listen to this unless I tell him to, is on the best diet in history. And he works with another friend of ours, Dean, who used to work here. And Dean's on a mega sort of shred at the moment. And he's doing fantastic. He's cutting up. He's doing really well. And he's been on point with his nutrition to the gram. He works alongside my other good friend who's on a diet which actually just means replacing Coke to Diet Coke, Monster to Diet Monster. Still has, he's tracking his food, but still has the McDonald's or whatever else, and just kind of goes at the end of the day, got no calories left. But, unbelievable to a lot of people is that he's losing weight and he feels fantastic. Mm. Even though he gets to like, say, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he's like, no calories left. Just doesn't eat.
But
his discipline's pretty good, right?
What he's got right is the energy balance.
He knows that if he's eating less, he's losing weight. And he's like, it works. And he's putting like his...
what he wants.
Yeah, laughing, crying emoji.
Sugary drinks.
Yeah. Switched them up for his diet versions. And he's progressing. Now, is that good for his health long term? No. We know that, But...
it's a step towards...
He's currently making an effort towards his holiday bod. So that's an approach. If you want to take it, do it. Fair enough.
There is people who've done challenges of eating McDonald's for 30 days or that every meal they have is in Nando's, but they track their macros and their food, and they get great shape from that. And they said, well, yeah, it could get very boring eating the same thing, but can be done as long as you know what's going in.
But right? And I think that's right though. So like having that sort of that foot on the gas time's key, right? And that's what this 10 weeks is about for a lot of people, getting in, because obviously prior to your holiday, you took a little bit more care about your intake. But you, I mean, it's different for you because you obviously train regularly, Alex, and obviously eat pretty well the majority of the time. So that's cool. But how do you treat it on holiday? Because I always get it myself, I'm sure you guys do as well, when you like going on holiday, like, oh yeah, but I bet you're like going to the gym every day still and doing all this. Yeah. But it's like, I mean, how did you play out? Because you were with clients, right, as well. I mean, they are friends, 100%, but they're also clients, so you probably had a little bit of I don't know, maybe not, I suppose you're pretty good friends, right?
Yeah, I went out there with the intention to do some form of bodyweight bits either in the mornings or in the evenings. And realistically, I did absolutely nothing. One, because my sleep was interrupted. Not interrupted, that's the wrong bike. I found I didn't sleep. someone kept interrupting me.
That's it.
I don't know who it was. I just found, actually, it was such a long day travelling on the Saturday, and we'd had a laugh when we got there, and we'd been to the supermarket and started having a few drinks, and you know, sort of 2 in the morning bed. So then, just a knock-on effect, I didn't sleep very well. I don't sleep very well when I'm in a different environment anyway. That's just one of those things. But yeah, just the lack of sleep, and then getting up the next day, people are already planning what we're doing. And for me, it's about control. I wasn't in control of what I was eating. I wasn't in control of a lot of things, but you're out of that environment, you're on holiday. So I just thought, I'll just relax.
How do you find it? I know you said you just relax. Can you relax though when you're out of control? Because I know that
I personally, I'm quite compulsive.
Yeah, you do a lot of things like on the dot, by the book, follow. Yeah, and like, if it slightly changes, it messes with you, right? Well, but do you find it relaxes you or not though?
Well, I was just talking to my client before we came in to do this. Like, could I hand on heart say that I went away for that week and relaxed? And I don't think, probably not. I did relax and have a lovely time, but I didn't completely unwind and switch off, because mentally I was thinking, I've drank a lot, I've eaten a lot, you know, and coming back Saturday night and having the day off yesterday, I did feel pretty horrendous yesterday, to be fair. So back on like the normal today. But to answer your question about did I carry on exercising, no.
You can reverse anything that you do over a week, right? So you eat and drink stuff for a week on holiday.
Don't eat and drink for a week.
Yeah. already today I've had less oats than I normally would, because I know the amount of carbohydrates I'd probably eaten in a week would be the equivalent of maybe a month's worth here. So
you just go on a bit of a slow reverse back into things and just drop things down a little. Don't go to the extreme of just cutting everything out.
Oh yeah, I'm not going to, like, I haven't eaten since 4 o'clock, or I haven't, you know, not.
But yeah, there is like that. I think just people worry that when they do go away, they've ruined all their hard efforts, all their hard work. But actually, for most people, putting that, say, 10 weeks, using that as an example, I know some people use our last 10 weeks to get in shape for holiday, going and enjoying that holiday, and then knowing that they can have that 2 weeks or whatever it is, maintain for a little period of time, and then hit again and get probably even better results the next time, because they're that step further on.
And I think that's obviously like a health perspective as well, slightly. You know, you're almost preempting some of the situations you're going to be in and potentially
it's life,
not eat. Yeah.
You're not going to have a life if you're stuck on the same diet, eating the same calories every day. You go away, can't have that. Your friends are all enjoying themselves, having some drinks. Can't have that.
Always, if point? You ever go to like a breakfast, they've always got some sort of pastry when you go abroad.
Yeah.
And there's something about them, even the ones that look like they're dry and crunchy, I still want to get involved and chuck Nutella on them. It's like, if they're dry, put more Nutella on. That's kind of my approach. But, and not be funny, but you say you took your foot off the pedal with the training, and you ate and drank a little bit more. And yeah, you felt a little bit rough yesterday, but you know that because of the way you are, that you're going to get, well, you are, we're about to train in a bit. And you get back onto it, and you can be positive mind. But prior to that, because of the stuff you did prior, you probably felt quite confident in your clothes, your shorts, your t-shirt, probably obviously being topless in the swimming pool and stuff like that. Yeah. It's quite a nice feeling to feel that way. It's especially where I hope no one's saying, we discussed it before, the last summer holiday you went on was a good few years back, and you said that, you know, that was when you weren't in great shape, right, and you felt really unconfident, you know, and you felt quite uncomfortable with it. And like, that's a big difference, right? Because I probably enjoyed it a little bit more. It's subliminally because of that as well. You know, you felt confident to go out and do whatever, and you know, and I think a lot of clients and people I speak to, when they discuss like going and saying like, oh yeah, but part of me dreads this because I feel like I've got to wear my all-in-one sort of swimsuit that, you know, some of the ladies, because I need to cover up these bits. And they half joke about it, but I know that actually they probably feel a lot happier if they didn't feel like they had to do that. And you know, guys wearing t-shirts in the pool and stuff, you know, that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And you know, and actually sun protection is a pretty good idea. But you know, some of them are like, I'd just love to be able to, you know, not be funny, run around with the kids and not worry about all that all the time and stuff, not even have that in the back of my mind. My sole thoughts want to be in playing with the kids, doing whatever, not how do I look and are people looking at me and thinking, God. You know, especially some of the guys who I know are quite young dads, they kind of feel that is a big thing, right? They've kind of gone, I've actually
dad bod.
Yeah, exactly the words. They're like, last few years, dad bod now, and it's like
skinny fat type thing, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
A little bit of a gut, but no shape for the arms and no shoulders.
That's quite a harsh word, isn't it? A little bit of a gut. I know you don't mean
because
that.
Because it's always like beer gut, isn't it? Yeah. That's where it comes from. So
always feel like it's a horrible word. Gut. Yeah. It's basically a word. It's belly. You know, it's belly. Yeah, I know it's exactly. Belly, I'm not saying wrong, but it just makes me smile when you say it.
But I think people probably seem to, in their own head, think that it's too much effort to put in. Oh, yeah, but it's, I can't. Yeah, I'm not going to have to change a lot of things.
People
I'm
see
have
it
to
as a long journey, don't they? And it's like an impossible task.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, when we talk about 10 weeks, it's not probably the extremity to the, you know, 2 week diets they do previously. No. So just if you mention the word diet, you know, straight away they're thinking, oh, I'm on massively restricted calories. I've got to do this. I can't eat that. I've got to, you know, drink a shake in the morning, have a bar at lunch, and you know, because they've probably had pretty bad experiences with diets. Mm. Whereas by doing it over 10 weeks, you can do it progressively and like actually just slightly tweak certain things, just be a bit more mindful of what you're doing, and it doesn't feel like a diet then at all.
On that point, one of the ladies I was on holiday with, she actually sat in the airport Saturday night and said, oh, I'm going to go on a diet from Monday. And I just made her think about it. I said to her, well, what do you mean by that? Like, tell me what you mean by I'm going to go on a diet. What does that entail? And she's like, well, just, well, you know, just no, don't eat all the crap and just, so right, okay, so all you're saying is it's not laid out for you that you have to have that at that time. You're not allowed to have anything. You've got to have a blended leaf at midday, and you've got to take these tablets at 4. And so some people do understand that it's just a case of, I know I've eaten a lot of high fat, carbohydrate stuff, not been very active. And she actually said, well, my activity level's gone down. Mm. So yeah, so it's energy balance, as Rob said. So there are people out there that understand, but then flip side, there are people that would sit there and say, oh, I've got to go on a diet on Monday, which means I've got to have cracker every
five lasts
hours.
About 3
what's the first thing? This is going to be one of those games where you're like, you know, where you go 1, 2, 3 draw. Right. I want you to say the first foot, not yet, don't get too keen, first food that people say they're going to cut out after 3. So we go 1, 2, 3 and say, okay, first food they say they're going to cut out when they're on a diet. 1, 2, 3, bread.
Chocolate.
Ah, chocolate.
Bread. Yeah.
It's definitely bread, isn't it?
Bread.
Yeah, fair enough.
I spoke to a few people who've said...
Choco fans.
Oh, just doing, yeah, I've got a couple of chocolate out.
Yeah, to be fair.
Bread's a big one,
If you were to ask me, it'd be chocolate. Really, bread, should be, but pasta, bread is definitely the... It's like so... Everyone's like, bread. It doesn't have to be that way, right? As you're saying, that's why I think education towards it, like an understanding, like you can, you know, if you're like, there's nothing I can physically eat apart from a sandwich, because that's like this, what else am I going to do? It's like, it's craziness to even,
give me some lunch ideas.
If it's not between a slice of bread, what on earth am I going to do? You know, it's like, all right, well, if that's really the case, let's incorporate it. And then let's work the rest of the day if that's your sole staple that you can't move away from.
What's in the bread?
I was going to say, what type of bread is it? You know, different things. So, what's in between the two
things?
The
thing is, they'll cut bread out, but still have things that are even more highly calorific, like chocolate biscuits or whatever. Yeah. They'll have 4 chocolate biscuits, but
I'll still have the pack.
Can't have a slice of bread.
We've had a good one, haven't we, before? Who's it? Somebody, we had a bread cutter hour, and... but then they'd, what was it, smashed a load of mince pies over Christmas. I was like, yeah, but I can't have bread. I was like, hang about. That's 12 mince pies. Just had, yeah, you just smashed 12 mince pies. That's, the bread situation is not my worry. Because you probably
one slice of bread's probably about 80 calories and a mince pie is about 250.
But that's alright, because 12 of those isn't bread. So that was a great one.
Could have any bread in it.
And also, I tell you, yeah, the one thing that you've got to be careful of, and this is serious. This is serious. You've got to be careful of peanut butter, because that stuff is so,
especially
advertised.
Now you can buy kilo tubs of that stuff.
And eat that in half a day, right?
You can eat it.
But so yesterday we went shopping, brief snack or whatever, and it was a case of like, so, you know, we had a meal deal. So she was like, oh, cool, we've got apple and peanut butter. And I was like, yeah, all right. And I was like, to be fair, it's a fair bit of peanut butter, and you know it's not, yeah. Your cleanest stuff, you could see it wasn't like, and Sue was like, oh, she's like, oh, I've been really good today, haven't I? I was like, nah. She was like, oh, I'm gonna make some more of that apple and peanut butter when you go. I was like, yeah, just be aware of the old, you know, peanut butter. Not being on her diet, not on her case, but I think she thinks it's like definitely really healthy. Stuff. And she was like, oh, I thought it was really healthy. I was like, yeah, but if you know, 400, you know, yeah, exactly. It's a serious amount of calories going on, and you've probably had about 100 grams worth today now. Okay. Now you've smashed like two apples with it as well. It's a fair amount of sneaky cows in there, do you know what I mean? So that's a good thing to look at as well. Just be careful of yourself for snacks. We always say it.
There's the other type of people, we've talked about the bread cutter outers and things. There's the people that I've known a couple of clients that haven't lost weight and have wondered why, but what all they've done is cut out chocolate crisps, various other bad snacks with fruit. So they'll still eat the same amount of snacks, but they might, oh, I didn't have that chocolate biscuit, but I had a banana. I didn't have that packet crisp, but I had an apple. So their sugar intake, their carbs and things were still about the same, sometimes even more. People are smashing fruit.
Especially when they blend them up and drink a smoothie and stuff. They can
I had two bananas and this and that, and then I had an apple and... Suddenly, your natural sugars, if you were to track that, would be still quite high. So, not necessarily replacing chocolate bars with fruit. No. It's still the same. It still goes back to the.
Saw a great thing on TV the other day. I can't remember what it was on now, actually. It may well have been a kids' program, but this mum was blending up a healthy drink for kids. It was orange juice straight into the blender.
Brilliant. Great start.
Orange juice.
Good.
Fruit, more fruit.
Sugar.
And then. Blended up, no vegetables or anything, no like good fats or proteins or anything, just basically fruit, a hell of a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
They've been bouncing off the walls with that just because it's that proper say, like orange juice.
What time
sugar
did
in
they
it.
Come off the ceiling?
And it's like, yeah, but this is great, this is healthy. Yeah, it might be stuff that's growing on the ground or in the trees, but still a hell of a lot of carbs and sugar.
Definitely.
And it's the idea of getting people just to be aware of what's in things, really. It's key. Peanut butter being massive one. Tablespoon of that, easy, go through a couple of them.
See, people could listen to this now and sit there and be like, oh, come on, guys, what the hell can we do then? And it's just,
yeah.
It's like, you've got to go back to the very base. Every time I have a nutrition chat with somebody, whether it's about bread or diet or what are you going to do because you've been on holiday and all these points we're making, it always goes back to the basics that you've got to expend more than you intake to lose weight, whether that's you know, piles of biscuits that you cut out and just track. Let's see how you do. So just say to people, okay, well maybe try this for a little while and we'll track how you're getting on, rather than just the black and white of it saying you can do this, you can't do that, you can do this, you mustn't do that, don't touch that, eat that. It's just,
yeah, if you say you can't eat something then they're gonna crave it even more. And so
yeah, you can't, we're not robots at the end of the day, nobody is. You've got to be realistic.
And I work with a couple of guys who are looking at changing their physiques online and stuff and bringing from like a bit of a more remote issue in place. And people, I think though, some people really, really, really feel they need to be told exactly what to do and how to do it. But my first argument is with that, because I've been kind of not in that situation because I was always too flexible, but I you know, had to have a certain amount of calories and macros and stuff like that, is that what happens when it doesn't, when you're not on plan, right? What happens when someone what happens when you can't have that avocado, salmon and asparagus for breakfast? What are you going to do? Well, it throws off the rest of your meal plan, surely, because you either don't eat anything, and then you're like, do I eat it or don't I eat it?
Yeah.
And then they go, well, I'll eat it later, but can I do that because now I'm eating that and my lunch at the same time? Is that wrong because I'm having too many calories in one hit? And then you go, oh, well, I have to have something, so I have oats. And then it's like, oh, but it's not exactly the same. And there's a real, like, you can get a real
panic almost.
Yeah, real fear. Yeah. And it really does mess with your head, because you're like, you've got things so set out and so planned, but then all of a sudden you haven't got a bell pepper in your fridge, but that's part of your dinner. And you're like, oh, and it sounds daft, but you can get to that extremity. And it, like, you know, it's like, do you know what? Having it cook like this, stressful, rigid, and that isn't a good idea. And I really, really don't like doing it for clients. I mean, I help guys, and don't get me wrong, I give them examples of days and stuff, and I try, and obviously I do work with what they like, and I can give them that, 100% I can give them that, I'll sit down and do that. But when they're like, I want to be told exactly what to do, a lot of people when they're just starting out, who don't really necessarily understand the science and how to work with it, I think there's this magic formula that if you have X amount of fat with X amount of protein and carbs, and you have it from that style of food, that all of a sudden your abs are going to be popping, right? It's, you know, it's just getting a decent balance and getting things right, and understanding, yeah, there are times when you have to take to extremity, but it is, you know, at the end of the day, you say, it's getting the basics right. It's just understanding, yeah, if you're going to have a bit of fruit, just be aware of not having 7 or 8 pieces chucked into a blender with orange juice. You know, it's not ideal. If you're going to have certain, you know, nut butters and stuff, not having, you know, 4 teaspoons of it. It's just being aware of foods, but understanding them, learning a bit about them as well, is always quite good. A lot of times, I say, when you just got to see where the foods come from is a massive key. And I think coming up now, as you say, looking into those summer bodies and stuff, right, how can we approach this? There are different approaches. There is, I could have exercise. I could reduce my biscuits or my chocolate and stuff like that. Maybe not replace them with something, but reduce a certain thing I know is a bit of a bad move. I could actually look into a bit more depth and go, right, how many calories am I eating? And just start with the calories, like Dean, my friend, does, and just reduce it down slightly. Yeah. Because actually his activity levels are still high. He's losing weight, so he's in positive equity.
It's quite a time-consuming thing to do, but it works. Yeah. But obviously there's still a degree of inaccuracy in weighing and measuring and stuff as well, but yeah, and also how your body burns calories. But the fact is that if you have the time to do it and it works for you, then great, that you'll get somewhere with it. But if not, then why not just simply, again, go back to using metrics. You need to know if you're making changes by either taking body measurements or seeing if clothes fit better or don't. See if they're not changing shape, then obviously you're not changing shape, rather than the clothes aren't fitting looser, then you know that something's going wrong. But generally, like, if you weigh yourself and you see your body weight changing, and that's what you want to change, you know that actually what you're doing and now and what you're eating is working for you, so why not stop? Why not keep doing what you're doing? Or if you're not tracking anything whatsoever and you're changing things you eat and you feel better and you're like looking a bit better and clothes are feeling a little looser, that's still working for you, great. But it's probably a little less accurate than there's nothing to really go forward with. At some point, you'll have to look at tracking something.
I mean, I always like to put on a very slinky, tight dress, one that's a little bit too tight in areas, and think, can I get into this and look well with the body that I desire? And that's always a good way of doing it. Saves any of the weighing or the measurements. Tight little fitted number.
What does Sue think to this when you stretch Sue's the dresses out of proportion?
Well,
I'm like, Josh, have you been in this again?
Yeah, but I've got to try on in 10 weeks and see how it looks.
Yeah, I'll take my before picture.
And you wait till when I put it on in 10 weeks, she's like, yeah, I can see why you did it. You look good. So that's my top tip to anyone out there, male, female, anything. Put on a slinky dress, check yourself, and recheck yourself. Always have a tan on the second one. Makes you look better.
So those in the 10-week challenge, you'll see Josh's before pictures coming up in the group soon.
I'm keen. If you can find a dress that fits this, but I'm keen. I'll wear that.
Yeah.
So anyway, start thinking a bit longer term, because then that way it doesn't have to be as intense. I think it's a pretty top tip. Doing things gradually makes it a lot easier, makes it less crazy. Try and do things that work for you, that are a little bit relaxed, that you don't get too stressed about. When you go on holiday, enjoy yourself, yeah, enjoy. Why not? It's a holiday, it's a break, you know. You know, that week or 2 weeks, yeah, you may make a step a little bit to the side, potentially, where you want to go long term. But you know what? It's a lot. It's gonna make you keep going in the right direction. If you kept going in that, you'd soon get fed up. Not enjoying your holidays, not enjoying your life, basically, at that point. So taking those times to enjoy with your friends, your family, whoever it may be, enjoy stuff, then go back on track again. Start hitting it again, train hard, look at, say, reducing a couple of those calories maybe on the next week or whatever, if that's how you work, or making sure that the food you're eating is nice, you know, nice, good, wholesome foods, rather than all your high, you know, calorific, fatty foods that you've been craving because you've been having them for the last few weeks. The burger diet, you know, if you're having a burger every single day, then maybe don't have a burger every single day. Like me, you know, cut down from 10 Easter eggs down to 1 in 10 weeks, and that's a positive change.
How many Easter eggs did you have?
Yeah.
I mean, we're counting. I don't like to...
You go shopping and still buy them.
If there's... What annoys me now is you don't get discount ones anymore. Used to, when I was younger, next day or following days, they discount the Easter eggs. Don't do that anymore.
No?
No, I'm not sure what happens to those anymore. Yeah, I mean, I'd be so... Apparently they're all sold out. Don't believe it. I believe the staff take them.
Hmm.
I blame the staff. It's probably a good thing, because otherwise I would still be eating them, yeah. So how many did I eat? Couldn't tell you, because I don't like to put myself in that position of tracking and getting too rigid with my food. So I was just let it go. Just let loose. Don't want to be restricting myself.
Pretend it never happened, that's what I do.
If you don't, if no one sees you eat it, does it count?
Yes.
It does count.
No, just...
Unless you see
yes, it counts.
Unless you eat it in front of the mirror and you're watching yourself.
Don't. No, I cry. I'd be like, what am I doing? Chocolate.
Physically watch your body change shape in the mirror.
To an egg.
Into an egg.
Eat the eggs to be the eggs. Right. Once again, completely irrelevant, the majority of that, but some good take-home points, we hope. So, get thinking about it. Get involved. To say if you want any help and advice and support, then obviously, as you know, we're always here. Outrageous Al didn't really come out with anything that outrageous today, so he's obviously tired from the holiday, so he's all chilled vibes. And we'll try.
Outraged out.
We'll try and catch him up at another point. Once again, congratulations to Rom Christian, Lil Mayor, and to Big Brother Henry. Keep doing your duties, buddy, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye.